Good morning. My name is Dr. Ben McMillan, and I am a chiropractor and the owner of the Neal Clinic. PJ, thanks for having me on this morning as part of the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Glad you're here.
Always a pleasure to be up here in the studio. Well, let's get into it. Today, I wanted to wrap up some of the conversation that we started last time I was here about some of the common conditions that I see at the clinic and some practical tips that you could really implement today to help prevent neck and back pain. As I get into that, if you are out there listening and joining us this morning, and you've always had a question that you've wanted an answer to, but never had the opportunity to ask a chiropractor, maybe you've never even been to a chiropractor, I'll tell you what, I've got great news. I want you to send those messages in. PJ, what's that number that they can text those questions into?
850-437-1620.
If you text those into us, I'll answer as many of your questions as I can get to live on the air this morning. So send those in. I always love it when you guys participate in the shows. But let's see if I can't wrap this thing up because I didn't get anywhere close to finish last time. What we were talking about last week was, you know, some of these common things that we do on a daily basis that may not seem like they would be such a big deal, but over time, that's how we develop these aches and pains. That's why one side of our neck or our back is worse than the other. Things like the way that we sit at our desk or spending prolonged periods of time sitting. You know, we talked about how to set up the proper ergonomic desk setup, right? We want those feet and knees at 90 degrees, feet on the ground. Don't sit on one of your legs with one leg tucked up under you and leaning to one side every single day. Make sure that that monitor is raised up and it's at eye level. The keyboards, your, again, elbows should be bent at 90 degrees. I don't want your wrists up or where your elbows are way below your wrists. That's going to lead to things like carpal tunnel. That's going to lead to that lower back aching. Or if you're constantly leaning forward because the font on your monitor is too small or you can't see it, get something to bring that monitor closer to you. Again, the amount of time that we spend every day at these jobs working every week for years and years will slowly build up. And it's this repetitive strain that causes that arthritis to be worse in some areas more than the other. Another thing we talked about was taking breaks to get up and stretch. It's unrealistic to expect our muscles to hold perfect posture for 8 hours a day with only an hour or 30 minute break for lunch. That's just an unrealistic expectation. What you really need to do is every 20 to 40 minutes, you need to get up and move. Stretch your back, stretch your legs. It's, again, prolonged static positions cause so many different muscle imbalances. It will cause you to be stiff. One example I use all the time, PJ, you have any pets at home?
I do, a dog.
Dog? Does your dog, when he wakes up in the morning, does he do that thing? He kind of stretches his arms out in front of him. He lifts his back and arches it.
Every time.
How long did it take you to train him to do that?
Didn't train him.
Didn't train him at all, right? All of our dogs, all of our cats, most of our pets instinctually know, hey, I've been laying around for a few hours. Right when they get up, they don't just get up and start running around. They get up and they stretch for a few seconds. Nobody has to train their dogs to do that. They know that their body needs a second to kind of warm up and get moving. Versus us, when we get up, we hear the alarm clock. We say, oh man, I'm going to be late. We just jump out of bed, sprint to the bathroom, most of us, and then try and get the shower rolling. And we say, you know, my back is so stiff in the morning. Yeah, because you were just still for hopefully 6 to 8 hours laying in bed, and you got up and immediately started just trying to move. We had gravity weighing on us. You didn't give your body that 30 seconds, that minute to kind of stretch and loosen up. There's a lot of things you can do from bed to kind of tell your body, hey, let's get these joints woken up. Let's start moving a little bit. And it'll make the mornings a lot more comfortable for us, just like our dogs and cats. Stretching your hips, that's another really big one, especially for people that sit a lot. Those hip flexor muscles are so tight because we sit and our legs are bent. Well, that standing up every 20 to 30 minutes will really help prevent that. The other thing I did get into last week was the technology. Using our phones, using our tablets, using our computers. We spend so much time with our head flexed down and our chin to our chest looking at those devices. I actually saw a patient yesterday that was saying, you know, Dr. McMillan, my neck, it really doesn't bother me too much during the day, but at night I start to read on my tablet and it really starts to be uncomfortable. Like, what can I do to stop? Why is this happening? And when she was showing me, she did what we all do, right? We have that tablet in our hand and she was looking straight down at it. Our head is this about the weight of a bowling ball, like one of those 10 to 13 pound bowling balls. And the muscles in our neck are so small that if you have to hold that bowling ball up for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or like she was saying, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours before bed, she would read. That over time can cause a lot of strain on those muscles. And then they're going to pull on the joints. And that's when you start to get that sharp pain when you try and look up or when you look to the sides. That's how this stuff happens. I showed her a device that was on Amazon. It's a tablet holder. It stands on the floor. You can put it, slide it up under your bed, slide it next to the chair. $25 on Amazon. That will completely alleviate that situation. Now you have your hands free. You can put it in a position where you can keep your spine and your neck in a neutral position, and it doesn't cost very much money at all. I mean, again, these things are out there. They have all sorts of products that will help, you know, keep you in a better ergonomic position to help prevent this stuff. Because again, she wasn't having, you know, too many issues throughout the day, but every night when she would read right before bed, she would have these aches and pains, and that was causing her a lot of problems. So keeping those devices at eye level, you know, the phones, the tablets, they're not very heavy. Hold them up high so you're looking straight ahead and at them. When that device starts to get too heavy because you're tired of holding it up, it's probably time to put it down anyway and take a break from just being on the phone or the tablet all day. There's some easy neck stretches, some shoulder stretches. You can kind of roll your shoulders in those small circles up and down. You know, make a plus sign with your head where you look up and down and then left and right gently. We're not trying to really overdo it. You know, if doing one of those range of motion stretches starts to hurt, this is not a no pain, no gain situation. Just move gently through ranges of motion. If you start to feel pain, stop and back off a little bit and just go up until you start to feel, hey, I'm getting some pain there, and then stop. Again, don't really start to aggravate it again and again. PJ, you'd be surprised how much of my job is the, hey, it really hurts when I flick my arm like this, and I have to tell them the what seems obvious, well, stop doing that to your arm. Mm-hmm. You know, if it really hurts every single time you turn your head to the left, you should probably go see somebody, your chiropractor, about that, because that means pain is that sign. It's that warning light on your dashboard of your car that's saying, hey, check that engine. If you're having pain in your neck, you need to go see somebody about that, because that pain's not just going to go away eventually. It's a sign that you're having some sort of joint dysfunction. Those muscles are tight. And over time, it can just get worse and worse. So if you're going through that range of motion stretch and you're feeling tight, you're feeling stiff, that's your body's way of telling you you need to get something done. If you're not having pain, those are going to help keep those ranges of motion stable and make sure that you continue to be able to move your neck safely like that.
So you do have a question on the text line.
What we got?
I used to run a lot, and now I have knee pain almost constantly, but it gets worse. Whenever there is a low pressure, is there anything you can do at home to help with that?
All right. So, and this is a great question. I love it when people text in, and it's not always about necks and backs, because chiropractors treat more than that. You know, we treat every joint in the body, the hips, the elbows, the knees, shoulders. And I know recently with all the storm systems we've had in and around our area, that pressure has been going crazy. So this person's definitely had some increased pain. You know, growing up, I'd always kind of heard that, right? The proverbial, you know, my grandmother can tell it's going to rain by the way her knees feel, that kind of thing. And I was like, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me. But I finally figured out why that happens. When the pressure changes, it changes the way that the liquids and gas expands in our joints. Our joint spaces, especially our knees, and definitely somebody that's been a lifelong runner, they measure that joint space in millimeters. So there's already not a lot of space in a healthy knee. After years and years of running on asphalt, those joint spaces are going to decrease. We're going to have some buildup of osteoarthritis. And then when that pressure changes and those gases and joints expand because there's not as much pressure on them, they don't have as much room to expand in anymore. That's why that you feel more pain and discomfort there. Now, what can we do to help with that at home right now? The number one thing that we can really do to help with osteoarthritis pain in the long term is strengthening the muscles around your knees. I don't know if this person's ever heard of the knees over toe guy. He's a he really helps people with physical therapy exercises. It's all online. It's most of his content is free, but he's a big fan of walking backwards on treadmills, of like sled pulls, to help strengthen the knees without it being like a weight bearing exercise, like a big heavy deadlift or a squat where you're loading all this weight up on your back. You know, you start with something that you can pull, like we're just pulling weight while we walk backwards with a sled typically. That's a really incredible exercise for decreasing the pain from that osteoarthritis that you can do. Kind of tough to do at home by yourself. Most gyms will be a good option for that. And the way that he wants you to do that at the gym, if you don't have one of the, he has a special treadmill for it, but you can just get on any treadmill and put it on a slight incline and then don't turn it on. Just use the power of your legs to kind of push that treadmill as you walk backwards. So you have to cause the treadmill to move using your own muscles. The other thing you can do is use ice. Ice is such a good local anti-inflammatory treatment. I have great ice packs at the Neil Clinic. These things are clay on the inside. They're fabric on the outside. Very comfortable to use. They conform to your joints, to your back, to your neck. You can lay on them. They don't burst. They don't get that cold by design. They don't freeze solid like a piece of ice. That clay stays very malleable. And they're very comfortable to use because I need my patients to use them. In fact, I give one of these out to every single one of my new patients because I think it's that important that they have the best ice pack they can, because using them has shown so many great relief to patients. Now, that's kind of the best things these guys can do in the long term is let's make sure we're strengthening those muscles to help support the joint. Again, they're going to have some cartilage deterioration in that knee. That's why they're feeling this. And the next best thing they can do is build up some muscles around their leg. If the pain is bad at that time, using something like those ice packs really help. I've also heard patients of mine say that the diclofenac gel, the brand name of it is Voltaren. The off-label brand is just diclofenac gel. It used to be over the counter about 2 years ago, but now they sell that, or it used to be prescription, excuse me. Now it's over the counter. You can pick that stuff up at a Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, anywhere like that. I've had a lot of people say they've gotten some pretty good relief using that diclofenac gel on their knees as another tool to really help. At the Neil Clinic, what we would do if you came in with knee pain, first of all, we would use a cryocompression device to help. It's this, looks like a big blood pressure cuff that wraps around your leg and it pumps up with ice water and really helps decrease that inflammatory response in your knees. And then we use our class 4 laser. I talk about that laser all the time on the show because it really has so many practical uses. The laser therapy helps decrease inflammation and help bring in some local blood flow to really speed up how quickly this stuff can heal. That's one of the big problems with this. When you have arthritis and that joint space is decreased, when you use those joints, it's going to cause small amounts of inflammation. And again, there's not a lot of space for that fluid to go because the joints are so small. That's kind of the treatment plan and protocol we used for osteoarthritic knee pain at the clinic.
Dr. Ben McMillan from the Neil Clinic is our guest, 850-437-1620. I do have another question for you. I've had two spinal fusions done. Hold on 1 second here. I was fine for several years, but now I'm starting to have sciatica again. Can I go to a chiropractor after having two spinal fusions, or will the chiropractors not touch me anymore?
All right, great question. Okay, spinal fusions. These are people that they've had some spine issues in the back, most likely pain going down their legs, probably some level of weakness where it felt like it was very difficult to pick their foot up or to move their leg. And that's why these orthopedic surgeons or neurosurgeons said, hey, we need to have this big operation. What we're going to do is we're going to put some rods alongside the joints in your back, and we're going to screw those rods in with some, I mean, it's hardware. It's nuts and bolts. It really is like that in your spine. Now, that might seem contrary to what chiropractors do, and it is, because as a chiropractor, I'm trying to move your joints. I'm trying to get some pressure off of those nerves that are being pinched and impinged upon, causing that sciatic pain, which is a ridiculous symptom that I know this patient probably feels pain coming down their legs, but they've had two spine surgeries. They know that this stuff is coming from their back. That's why they had the surgeries to begin with. Now, this isn't surprising to me, knowing that we have these joints that are designed to have motion in them, And then they have a surgery to kind of fuse them together and reduce the motion. The surgeons don't want these things moving at all. That's why they've locked them down with those nuts and bolts. We're going to increase the stress directly above that fusion and directly below that, which is, again, most likely why this patient didn't just have one spinal fusion. They had another, because that joint right above it started, or below it, started to have more strain on it. And they said, hey, we got to go in and we got to fuse more of these joints together. You know, am I a big fan of these operations? Not really, but it's kind of a lesser of the two evils things, because there is a time and place where that is the best option. If you're getting that weakness in your leg, that's what you need to have done. Because if you don't get that that weakness resolved, if you don't take the pressure off of that nerve in time, you may never regain the ability to get the strength back in your legs. And that's a serious condition. So I understand the need for them, but we also have to know that they're going to come with issues. Traditional chiropractic care, the manual adjustments where we use our hands to bend and twist and manipulate the joints in your spine, our hand contact is going to contact more than one of those lumbar joints at once. So if this person, we've got five vertebrae in our lumbar spine, I'm assuming this person probably has an L3 through L5, just the most common areas to have these fusions fused together. It's nearly impossible to guarantee that we are only going to move the L1 and L2 vertebral joints at once and not affect L3, L4, and L5 with using my hand. That's the dilemma that this patient has. At the Neal Clinic, I'm certified to use the activator method of adjusting. And using the activator, which is this handheld spring-loaded instrument, one of the biggest benefits is that we can treat these patients that have had these spinal fusions, that have had these lumbar fusions done in their lower back or the cervical fusions done up in their neck, because the surface area of the instrument is so small. It's about the size of your fingertip, which coincidentally is the exact same size as the vertebra that we need to move in your back. So we can guarantee that we are only moving that L2 vertebra and not adjusting that L3, because it's been, again, these surgeons are stabilizing this thing because they don't want it to move. I don't want that to move. These are patients that, yes, absolutely, if you go to a chiropractor and they say, yeah, we're just going to pop your lower back and get rid of this, you know, sciatica, you need to get a second opinion. That would not be a great idea. But with the activator, we don't have to bend and twist you into these different positions. All you do is you lay flat on this table. I can adjust the line of drive with the instrument just by the angle that I hold it. It's very gentle. It's very safe, but it's a very effective way to get the relief that these patients need without affecting that surgery that they've had. And again, these nerves are being pinched and they're irritated. They're causing inflammation. You know, there's no real magic behind what chiropractors do. And that's why I spend so much time on this first, you know, on that first initial consultation, is explaining this stuff so everybody understands what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, why this ice pack works better than heat, why we're going to do these joint manipulations in this area versus this one. I'll show you the tool and the instrument before we get started with any of this stuff, because I get a lot better results when my patients understand the treatment plan and what we're going to do versus if I just say, hey, you know, this is what we're doing, I'll see you tomorrow. They really appreciate the understanding and the treatment plan and prognosis of each individual case. So that's one of the things that I would recommend, is doing some anti-inflammatory therapies in conjunction with these adjustments. Because again, they've got some nerves that are inflamed. PJ, I hope you've never had that sciatic condition, the pain.
I haven't, no.
I treat that stuff every day and it looks terrible. I mean, these people are in sometimes debilitating pain. I mean, if every time you sat down, it just started to cause this burning down your leg, life would be tough. I mean, that's not a good way to go through a day. And that's a lot of times what these guys have. So yes, chiropractic care can help these patients. No, they should not go to just any chiropractor off the street. Make sure that they're not getting that manual manipulation and they're getting some sort of instrument-assisted adjusting, like the activator method of adjusting that I use at the Neal Clinic.
There's another question for you. Do you accept TRICARE?
TRICARE. I'm in network with so many different insurance networks at the Neal Clinic. TRICARE, unfortunately, does not allow us to be in network as a chiropractic provider. They don't let any chiropractor, not just the Neal Clinic, they don't have any chiropractic coverage. However, we do have, you know, different billing profiles for different patients that are underinsured or uninsured. We're in network. Again, there's thousands of Blue Cross Blue Shield plans, thousands of United Healthcare, Aetna, Medicare, that's easily the hardest part of what we do at the Neal Clinic is deal with these insurance companies. And we've got a whole team that's dedicated to that. They do this stuff every day. They're constantly calling these insurance companies. We'll verify your benefits before we start incurring any charges. We'll make sure that we have a conversation with you about, hey, this is the cost for these treatments. This is how often Dr. McMillan wants to see you for your treatment plan before we start incurring any charges to make sure it's a situation that's financially feasible for you. We're not just going to stick you with some big bill and say, here you go, and mail it to you a month after you've had all these treatments. That's not a good way to handle business in my mind, and especially when it comes to medicine. You know, we'll make sure you're aware of what your specific insurance coverage is. And unfortunately, TRICARE does not let any chiropractors outside of the base be an in-network provider. The other thing I wanted to talk about today, I'm running a little short on time, but it kind of related to the patient that texted in with the knee pain. I wanted to address something that, you know, there's this weird phenomenon in the clinic where if I see one case of some obscure condition that I haven't seen in months, I'll get four or five of them that week. And last week it was plantar fasciitis. Have you ever heard of this, PJ? You know what plantar fasciitis is?
I had it once, yes.
Oh, okay. So what was your experience with plantar fasciitis, PJ?
My foot felt like it was on fire.
Yes, foot pain. Not something you would normally associate with going to a chiropractor, correct? Mm-hmm. And most of the time this is an, oh yes, and I also have condition for me. It will be somebody that's been in the clinic and I've been treating their back or their neck and that's feeling much better. And they just casually say one day, hey, I've had this foot pain going on for the last 2-3 weeks. You know, I've done some research. I think it's plantar fasciitis. Is that something that you help with? Of course it is. Again, we treat musculoskeletal injuries. And what plantar fasciitis is, for the people out there that don't know, bottom of the foot is something called your plantar fascia. And fasciitis, that itis, you know, ending, is a sign that it's inflamed, it's irritated. And typically these patients present with, like, when you first get up in the morning, that first step out of bed, how that was typically the worst for you, PJ. He's nodding his head. Yeah. Mm-hmm. First, that's how you can kind of tell if that's the condition you have. You know, those, if you've been sitting down for an hour and you go to stand up, those first few steps are pretty excruciating. I mean, this stuff can get into some pretty high pain levels. And that's another condition that, again, I treated it so much last week. We had a hairdresser that was in and on her feet a lot, but she would sit down for lunch and she'd get up and she could barely stand. I mean, it really is. It feels like it's burning. It feels like it's on fire. It's a pretty uncomfortable situation, but teaching you some stretches, some exercises that you need to do. We use that Class 4 medical laser. We get great results with that thing at the Neal Clinic. And we treated so much plantar fasciitis last week. I just said I need to talk about this on the air because it's not something that people really associate with chiropractors typically, is, you know, foot pain. That's typically in the world of podiatry or something like that. But I've had so many patients the last few weeks that just said, hey, yeah, I've also got this. And I thought that was very interesting. What did you do to finally resolve your plantar fasciitis?
Oh, I had to go to physical therapy.
Yep. A lot of stretching, a lot of exercising. Yep. Has it come back?
No, it has not.
Excellent. I was reading some research about it to a patient, and the numbers were, you know, almost half of the people would still have pain 10 years later. And it's most of the time it's because they don't take care of it initially. If we catch this thing early, we can give you the stretches, the exercises. One of the big tips that I tell everybody, I used to use a frozen water bottle on the bottom of the foot to kind of reduce that inflammation, but I found a frozen golf ball. It doesn't make a mess. It's much smaller. It's a much more pointed kind of like self-massage to kind of loosen up some of that plantar fasciitis. Mm. Doesn't take up a lot of room in the freezer. And it's not nearly as messy as, you know, as that water bottle starts to thaw out and then it gets wet everywhere. Put the golf ball in the freezer and roll that on the bottom of your foot to help with this. That's one big tool that I really found very helpful.
We have about 30 seconds left.
All right. Well, I've done it again. I've run out of time and didn't get to everything I wanted to talk to, but I'll be back.